What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another fucking episode of the, I don't know, whatever this shit is. I don't know.
We don't know. We still don't know what this is.
Kind of still figuring it out, so.
It's certainly not a revenue stream. I think we can say that much just right off the bat. So.
No. Yep. Definitely not. Definitely not any money coming in. Plenty of money going out, but not any coming in as of yet. So we'll get there when we get there. But we're
a smack podcasting for a job.
Oh my god, I would love the podcast for a job. I would love to get signed to like Spotify exclusive or something and just make stupid money for no reason. That would be so sick.
That would be sick.
I don't think they'll ever go for it, especially with the way that we are. But I think that. It's a cool
dream. If Joe Rogan can do it,
yeah.
If Joe Rogan can do it,
but the question is, I
don't necessarily consider that palatable content, especially not now.
Yeah.
I also feel like Joe Rogan doesn't talk about cum as much as we do, which.
Yeah, no, Joe Rogan definitely does not talk about cum as much as we do, but Joe Rogan talks probably about drugs way more than us. So I don't know. I feel like it's fine.
Same kinds.
It's true. We might as well. Well, let's say what's up while we're chatting. We have some pals in the stoop with us tonight. Some returning, some not, some new to the program. So, we'll just go kind of down. If we want to maybe introduce ourselves real quick and just maybe, you know, real quickly what you do in the band, just for the people at home that might not know. So, Mod, since I see that you're eating something, I'm going to actually call you out, and I'm going to have you go first, if you wouldn't mind.
Fruit by the foot.
I thought it was a sour, like, belt. Those are really good, but fruit by the foot's, like, I guess the slightly less candy version of that.
I really like fruit by the foot. But in the band I play bass, I don't eat fruit by the foot in the band.
That would be cool to make money off of, just eating fruit by the foot all the time. If I can make that a job.
That would be very easy for me.
Yeah. Easy money.
What do you think is the most length of fruit by the foot that you could eat in one sitting? Like how many fruit by the foot, like down to the inch, how much of each one could you have?
I think like 30 feet, maybe 40.
Feet?
Yeah. That'd be impressive.
You don't mean one bite, right? You mean like in one meal. If you're having a fruit roll-up meal,
yeah,
how much can I have? Yeah,
I guess okay. How much could you fit in your mouth is a totally different question.
I don't want to answer that.
All right, who wants to go next?
The amount of people get to know the answer to that.
Yeah.
I'll go next. I'm Adam. I'm the drummer. I bang stuff for fun.
Come on now.
Make sounds that make pretty noises.
Hell yeah. I love that. Drums, I mean, truly, I feel like round everything out. Really, the glue that holds it all together. So, absolutely.
They couldn't survive without me.
That's true. Every show would be an acoustic show without you. That does get boring eventually. You can do it for a while, but respect.
True that. Is DeFonte here?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm DeFonte. I sing in the band. Adam's actually wrong. I am the most important because without my voice, the band is God. So
that it kind of is true. I mean, to be fair, I guess your voice, especially I think in this band, your voice is like a very defining aspect of the music. So I guess that is a really fair argument in response to the drum thing. But
I just love getting about that. It's like, yeah,
I'm second in command.
I feel like this is a drummer way of thinking. It's like, oh yeah, I keep the band afloat. I keep the band in time. I do this. Me, I take you. Like shit like that.
And then the bass player chimes in and is like, oh, but I'm the foundation. And nah.
Okay, and that's you saying that as the bass player. You're just trying to get sympathy. Shut up.
I would say bass is like the least important, but. Mod is like the most important person.
What the hell?
I would like to differ. I would say, to be honest with you, if you want to be completely honest, I think bass is more important.
Then what? What are we comparing to?
I just think bass overall is more important than drums.
It's more important.
Oh, that's such a fucking lie.
It's at least more important than people give it credit for.
It is more important than people give it credit for. If it's missing,
like if you've ever been to a show without bass, like without someone on an actual bass guitar. So. Yeah.
It's terrible. It's way more enjoyable to watch a three piece with like just guitar and bass than it is to watch a band with two guitars and no bass. Like,
true.
If you do the one guitar and no bass with like a lot of stuff on the low end, that's like that also works. But
you use like an octave pedal, or like you can play out of a bass amp that can help sometimes, or like Origami Angel. I know like they just like split off into like four different amplifiers, and like two of them are bass amps and two are guitar amps, or like something crazy like that. They only have one guitar. It sounds like someone's playing bass.
Yeah, it makes it like full, which is a lot of what the bass does, with like rounding everything out. Wow, what a productive conversation.
Look at us having a real music about the roles of music on the podcast right now. What is going on?
The guitarist.
I don't think that's ever happened before.
It happens sometimes. Well, like usually when it's happening, we will unfortunately do this thing that we're doing right now where we're like, "Oh, we're having a music conversation," and then we move on to talk about like grilled cheese or whatever. So, yeah,
talk about grilled cheese.
Yeah, we could talk about grilled cheese.
I'm talking about grilled. I love grilled cheese.
What's your favorite cheese to put on a grilled cheese sandwich?
Ooh,
that's. I feel like that was a really wide open question. I guess maybe I should just say build your perfect grilled cheese. Maybe that was a too open ended question.
Okay, so
and happy on that.
Yeah, I'm gonna say I throw some meat on that.
So you're making it melt. Okay, fine.
Yeah. Like some cheese and just like hella cheese in between like the bread, and then throwing like some turkey, and, like throwing like some ham, like Adam said, just right in between that thing, and just like just
slap that bitch right in the middle.
Literally. Oh, but the cheese not picky though is definitely pepper jack cheese.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as a kid, I just kind of was always drawn to spicy food, but pepper jack has cemented itself as the best cheese to me. That's the best cheese.
Oh,
it goes on everything. Superior. I've never been disappointed to have that on anything. It's
great. Yeah, 100%.
It's good shit.
I'm a pussy white boy that can't handle spicy stuff, so.
No, come on. What are you, Kraft singles? What are you using?
That. What cheese?
Provolone.
Provolone does work.
Provolone's pretty underrated.
That's a Subway special.
I feel like provolone doesn't like excel on its own though, like some cheeses do. Like provolone accents certain things really well. Yeah.
Yep.
Very, very good enhancer. What I will say is overrated though is I've never really been a fan of cheddar cheese. I think cheddar cheese is too much.
Interesting.
I just like I know like Potbelly has like the chicken and cheddar sandwich. I asked them if they could like do another piece of cheese. Cause for me. Like too much cheese can be too much cheese, and that's literally what cheddar cheese is.
She also asked for no cheddar cheese at Potbelly because that's just kind of gross.
Yeah.
Getting the beef and cheddar from Arby's and just spilling it all over yourself, like that's the worst. I can't do like the nacho cheese or the melted shred or cheddar cheese.
It sounds like something that would happen in a nightmare for me, for real.
Yeah.
Yeah, nacho cheese is not good.
I am definitely a cheddar defender, and I will say that when I eat it, I generally prefer like extra sharp. Because if I'm gonna do it, I mean, I'm doing it. Turn it up to 11. Like I want it all the way. I want some stank on it if I'm gonna have cheddar cheese. And the other issue I think with this, and Robin, feel free to disagree with me, but as Ohio boys, we have this affinity for Skyline Chili. And as I'm sure, I don't know if you've ever eaten it like out on tour or anything, but I'm sure you've at least kind of seen it. And
where are we gonna go there?
It's slop. It's absolute slop.
I just had it for the first time on our recent tour because I have a buddy.
Literally, like went.
Yeah,
went on a separate mission without us to get Skyline.
I did. I wanted it so bad.
Respect.
Because I have a buddy who lives in like Cincinnati. And like he drove all the way to fucking Columbus to see our show, which was pretty cool. But the first thing I said when I saw him, like, dude, like I want to get Skyline Chili right now. He's been talking about it for years, and I've never actually had it, but I've wanted to like actually try it.
Yeah.
And then like I thought it was pretty solid. Like he showed me everything. He showed me the crackers, the hot sauce. I put it right over in the coney. It was fucking. I thought it was fucking delicious. I really did.
Honestly, and, like, it sounds so cute. You had such a cute friend experience at Skyline. I honestly love that for you. You got the whole, like, the whole rundown.
The whole shebang.
I love that.
Well, it definitely made the experience a lot better.
Yeah. Oh God, you have to like have someone coach you through it, or otherwise you're just like, I'm eating slop. I don't know what I'm doing.
You can't go through the drive-thru the first time either. You have to sit down. Otherwise, yeah, you're getting like the melted stuff. It's disgusting.
Well, as you would know then, when you order anything at Skyline, it basically just comes with like a 3 to 4 inch tall pile of unmelted, like cold cheddar cheese just like sitting on top of it. And I love that shit, man. Like, give me extra cheese. Like, I grew up on it, so I think it might be in my DNA to some degree, but... Like a really thinly shredded cheddar cheese really does it for me. That's some really good stuff.
Oh, God.
Okay, so we talked about music for like 1 minute, and then we actually did talk about cheese for like 20 minutes. Right?
We did talk about cheese a lot.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Cheese is good.
Sorry if you can't eat dairy.
Yeah.
I can't have that. I can have a little bit of it. Like, I haven't given up pizza yet. Like, I can't give up pizza. That's not going to happen.
No.
I couldn't.
And obviously Skyline as well. But, like, I have to avoid dairy most of the time. I use almond milk on my cereal and stuff.
Yeah.
That's just prefer darn shame.
It's just, you know, you get old and your gut just abandons you.
Yeah.
Oh, I know that feel already. My stomach hates me, everything I eat.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. It feels like right around when I turned 25. It just felt like my body started shutting down on me. I feel like there was a long time that I could eat just whatever I wanted, and like, I'm a kid, so it all, you know, whatever. I could digest, you know, I could digest a 2x4 if I really needed to, but for whatever reason, like, as soon as I turn 25, if I have a Chipotle with like cheese and sour cream, it's game over the next day. Did you have a fart loaded, motherfucker?
I have three, actually. I have that one, I have this one, and I have this one. I thought that one might be a little too nasty for the moment.
Yeah. I have one fart.
And sour cream.
I'm going to play the one fart that I have. Are you ready? This is a Guinness World Record fart.
It sounds like the fart from Step Brothers.
How long does it go? Jesus Christ.
His friends start coughing in the background. It's so fucking funny. Oh, God. I just want to say for the record that I stopped that sound bit before it was over. That fart had a little bit more to it. But I downloaded that for a one-off like bit we did in an ad read, I think, one time, and I never took it off my soundboard.
That's like what happens when you eat like Taco Bell or something, and then you go to sleep immediately.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And waking up at 4:30 in the morning, like, I've made
a grave error.
Literally sure. White Castle. That's literally White Castle right there.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah. I feel like White Castle's like fresh food. A lot of people don't really like understand like that like process or whatever. Like, oh, like White Castle's fresh food, but it is. Like they literally make their burgers fresh. Mm-hmm. And like, you expect it to be the exact opposite, but you're right. If you're eating fresh food, even if you have cheese on it now, like, I feel like every time I eat at White Castle, I'm fucking gassy as shit. Yeah. I have literal shits for the entire fucking day. The next day.
That's a result of the piles of onions that you're eating whenever you eat White Castle, too.
In the middle of tour, we did get like a giant, like, 2 crave cases worth of like White Castle.
To be fair, that was for us and Cliff Diver, and there's like 7 people in Cliff Diver.
Yeah.
So it was still a lot.
Reasonable amount of food for like 13 people.
That's true.
Yeah, they could have easily ate those 2 crave cases by themselves. They didn't need us. We just added it to it.
Is the crave case like a tour staple food? Because this is now the second time I've heard that. Because when Carly Cosgrove came through town, they did the exact same thing. They got a fucking crave case.
Oh, that's really funny. I was sitting in the green room, and I was eating one, and then Gil from Cliff Diver storms in like almost angrily, and he goes, "I can't stop eating them." like storms out, like he was like pissed that he liked White Castle so much.
That's so good.
I can relate to that. That's totally fair.
When we got to Indy, like, we came off the expressway, I saw there was a White Castle, and I was like, oh, fuck, White Castle. And, like, it didn't even cross my mind, like, the fact that, you know, instead of eating, like, you know, Taco Bell and Burger King, like, we could have easily just been chowing down off the sliders. And then, thank God, Cliff Diver wanted to eat White Castle, because, you know, I was like, oh, fuck, hell yeah, we can get that. That'd be really, really good.
Yeah. Spent, like, $90 at White Castle.
Yeah, because maybe it's, like, 45, and then right after that, we also got, like, onion rings, chicken rings, surprise.
You can order just a can of Monster Energy straight from the White Castle drive.
What? White Castle's pretty much for that, yeah.
Is that true?
You can just get a Monster.
I knew you could get Red Bulls at Steak and Shake, but I did not know about the Monster plug. So that's good.
Oh, that's actually really good to know.
I like Monster way more than Red Bull. I made a TikTok the other day about Monster.
Did it blow up?
It's embarrassingly informative.
First, I mean, Monster is definitely the best one as far as energy drinks go. I'm definitely like, I'm a Monster Ultra Zero. I'm a bitch through and through for the Ultra Zero White. That's me.
I have an awful sweet tooth. So I drink like the original, like in the green can. And then I really like Mango Loco.
The mango one is good. The really good one is the, what's it? It's like Pipeline Punch or some shit like that. I don't remember. It's pink. It's really good.
That one is really good.
I liked Pipeline Punch.
I liked Mango Loco, and I liked the Red Punch one that we used to get that had like the gold boxing glove on the front.
Yeah.
Until I found out I was allergic to all of them. I thought that was just the energy drink effect giving me a stomach ache. Turns out it was all the mango and pineapple shit and all of it.
Yep.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
That's terrible. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Now I just have to drink like the sugar-free ones. But I've also moved on to Mountain Dew. So
yeah, he's a Mountain Dew Kickstarter boy.
Kickstart and Game Fuel are my go-tos.
Like, I haven't been able to find Mountain Dew Code Red in like a 12 case anymore, and that makes me very sad.
Yeah.
Code Red.
That one summer that you could find Baja Blast in cans, I probably got like 4 or 5 cases of it. It was so good.
I love Baja Blast. Like nothing's better than crisp, large, ice cold Baja Blast Mountain Dew from Taco Bell.
Absolutely, 100% correct. When it's really good, and like when they maybe have the syrup flowing a little too heavy in the fountain machine, that is so good. That shit hits.
I honestly feel like it's better if you get it in the can or the bottle, because there's like more of the flavor in it than when you get it from Taco Bell.
You don't run the risk of it being just an awful fountain version of Baja Blast.
Yeah.
They haven't changed the box in a while. It's just like squeaking a little bit.
Every time I get Taco Bell, the drink tastes watered down.
I'm curious. You guys were in Columbus.
I know that everyone talks about the McDonald's Sprite or whatever, but like when you go to McDonald's and you get a drink, like it tastes like a fucking soda.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's like
McDonald's Sprite is unbelievable, man.
McDonald's is unmatched with their sodas. It's so good. They're so good.
True.
Unreal. Unreal how good they are. I'm curious, because I know you said you guys were at the White Castle in Columbus. That's, I'm gonna assume, somewhat downtown, because you were here.
Indianapolis.
Shit. I was curious.
Is it the one that's like right off the highway, right as you're leaving Indianapolis?
Yes, it is.
I've been to that White Castle with my mom so many times. I went there after a Mumford & Sons gig with my mom.
Yo!
That's awesome. That's really good.
You see some fucking banjos?
Yeah. Well, kind of. We were in the upper level of the arena, but all the way to the side. So like we could see like the lights above the stage were like blocking everybody. So we kind of saw some banjos.
You saw one of the Mumford Sons, and that's it.
Yeah. I saw them when they went to the little satellite thing for like the slow song where everyone had their flashlights out and they're like out in the middle of the crowd.
Yeah, you saw that.
I was
that.
Like, oh, I can finally see them. And then they walked back.
That's so funny.
They like transitioned out of the folk thing, didn't they? They make like, soft rock now.
It's I think a blend of folk and soft rock now. Also, I think one of the guys is like an asshole.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. One of them, I think, is like a Republican.
I'm pretty sure it's the banjo player.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Aren't they all banjo players?
It would be the banjo player.
Aren't they all banjo players?
There is one dedicated banjo player, and I believe that he is the dickhead. Yeah.
Mm. Well, there's the banjo, and then there's the big banjo, and then there's like the medium banjo. You know, you got all the different ones.
Medium banjo.
You got a 4-string, a 5-string, a 12-string banjo.
He almost called it Mumford and his banjos.
Yeah. Mumford and
his right.
That
honestly would have been a better name. That would have told you more up front about what was going to be happening.
Right? Like, what's a Mumford? Who's that?
The guy who's like weirdly hot, I think. The guy with the weird looking face that's like almost too good. He's like Uncanny Valley level hot to me. It's weird. He's like too hot,
that's
but
how I feel.
He's so hot that he's not attractive.
I don't know if I should say this because we're gonna. There's a chance we might go on his podcast, but that's how I feel about Mike Herrera from MXP. they talk about this on like the 155 pod, but like if you look at Mike Herrera compared to the rest of MXPX, he's just like he looks like. An animated character with how much more attractive he is compared to the rest of them.
I agree with that. Compared to the rest of the members, hard agree.
That's so funny. I've never seen a picture of Mike Herrera before, but you're absolutely correct. What the fuck?
Just watch
he's
him.
He's got like that kind of jaw, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, too hot. Not a real person. It can't
His
be
tattoos
real.
Are like really well done. Like... He's like, I'm not even really into guys, but he just like, he's, like you look at him and you're like, that's a good looking guy. Like,
yeah,
he,
of course.
He's got the Dane Cook look.
He does have the Dane. He's like punk Dane Cook.
He's got the eyebrows.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a picture of Dane Cook in like 10 years.
he's got to not be doing great, huh? He's got to not be having a good time out there right now. What is Dane Cook up to?
Avenue up to? I've got a... Hey, we're going to throw a new segment at you. Are you ready for this one? New segment.
Yeah. I don't dance now. I make money move. Say, I don't got to dance. I make money move. If I see you now speak, that means I don't fuck with you. I'm a boss who a
regular. And we can do this because we don't make any money off the podcast.
Is it
so
just
we're
the
allowed
song?
To put this
You're
in.
Just playing the
yeah.
song?
Yep. No, don't worry. It fades out eventually. Welcome to Money Moves, where we're going to give the fans at home a quick rundown of some of the sick shit that our friends in Cleveland Avenue have been up to lately. And very loose terms on lately. We've dug a little bit into the back catalog. Okay. We got some questions.
How far back? Because that's a very fine line in this band.
Don't worry.
How far back you go.
For sure.
We're starting with what you described as your first good EP. So,
okay.
is that a good place to start?
Not the real first EP, but the first one.
Have you heard the real first EP?
No. I don't think I have. I know I've listened to those.
Wait,
two.
I'm not aware of this at all. What's this like? What's this lost first EP then? Wait, what is
it? It's on Bandcamp. It's on Bandcamp.
I mean, like a nutshell,
one place you can find it.
Huh. It's songs that we've written the whole year.
Yeah.
Before like Peace of Tank came out, and they just recorded very, very badly. The production of like what we have now is just not like what it is. They're just like demo tracks. They're just out. They're just scratch. No like mixed or master. They weren't polished. They were just out. Like you know.
Hey, shut the fuck up. I was the one who recorded and mixed it. It was like when I very first started recording, like within like the first 2 months.
Why are you trying to take credit for this EP that you know sounds terrible?
And all I did was throw like presets of like the plugins, like and like, oh, that sounds like it looks right.
Adam didn't know as much as he knows now. Also, Adam was a little cheap back then. He didn't really want to go pay money to a studio or someone to do it for us.
To be fair, I didn't have faith in this band at that time. I didn't have faith in the band at that time to want to spend that much money. I was like, fresh out of high school. I didn't have that money then.
Yeah.
Just playing blank covers in my fucking bedroom.
Just let me be.
Let's contain our most experimental track,
which is
My Last Breath.
You have to find. You give. Yeah. I was gonna say that they have to find it themselves.
Thank you for saying it.
Lots like listen to them or dive in or kind of see like what we were thinking about when we were first as a started as a band. Huh. You go on band camp, listen to them.
It's like some lore
at this time.
Yeah, she was not in the band at the time yet. She was still a friend of ours. She heard like all the music that we were performing. But like overall, like just you can go to band camp, you can hear it and stuff like that. Just don't play it in front of me because
that's fair.
The local scene was mad at us because like our songs like sucked on the recording, but we were actually good live.
Yeah. was, like, that's so funny.
I literally think all the time, you know,
look at your Facebook page and y'all had like over 1,000 likes with your only release being this EP that is objectively terrible.
no, 100%. I think a lot of like that, like just overall, and like to be honest, I think this all the time. It's like, what would have happened if we actually would have like started the first one with Roy or like with someone with the production was a lot better. You know what I mean? Like, could we have been more further along than we are now? But at the same time, though, like it's cool. I'm glad we did that. I'm glad we like got that like done and understood that experience and stuff. Because it just made us more hungry and like wanted to work harder, I feel like, in that regards. And when we came out of Beats of Tat, like it fucking like the rest is like history from that point. So
is also that someone's actual pizza tattoo on the album cover?
Yes. Our former member, it's he has a tattoo on his pizza, yeah.
Gotcha. Because I was just mentioning it because I have one.
It's in the exact same spot, too.
Oh, yeah, no. It is right there.
Yeah, the former member of the band is actually Robin.
Yeah. Found out.
We kicked out Robin.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
I wasn't pulling my weight, okay? I'll admit it right now. I wasn't pulling my weight.
The cover of that first EP is also like the 4-bit emojis that we had at the time, and it's like very
photoshopped. That's right.
Yeah.
It's, I remember not realizing that it was bit emojis when I first saw it, and I was like, oh, I wonder who did the art for this. This is really cute. And then it kind of clicked that they were just bit emojis, and I was like, oh, fuck this. Like,
I'm glad we didn't get big off that EP because we probably could have gotten copyrighted for that if we actually had any success with it.
Well, it's a good thing I'm playing copyrighted material on the podcast. So
that is very true. Putting it up on Spotify with the full song, that's fine. That's fine.
We did get a copyright claim on one of our TikToks, I think.
Did you?
For using our own song.
And there's no way to dispute it. There's like no way that you can like this, like on Instagram, you could say like restore audio and it always like gives it back to you.
Yeah.
But like on TikTok, you can't dispute it. It's the dumbest thing ever.
Interesting.
It's like, yeah, TikTok, that makes sense. Copyright claim Cleveland Avenue for playing Cleveland Avenue. That makes sense.
Yeah. And that's the app that you can literally play any music you want. And like,
as long as it's any sound.
It's probably just one of those like publishing sites, like just one box wasn't checked, like the TikTok box, and it like flagged you or something.
Yeah.
There was a sound that was trending and it was See Me Again by Kanye West, which is like a B-side that a lot of people think was his like suicide letter pretty much.
Damn.
And it was trending for like 2 weeks, and then suddenly all the videos I had of the sound was gone, and I was like, oh, someone at TikTok figured out what this song was about.
Oh no, that's so sad.
Yeah, I know. So, a moderator did their job. Fuck.
Yeah, damn. Not the moderators doing the right thing, but you do love to see it
for real.
Oh.
So after Pizza Tat, we've got one of my favorite releases from 2021, The Things Better Left Unsaid.
Hell,
phenomenal.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I've got the t-shirt, I've got the poster, I've got the stickers over somewhere.
Yeah. Oh,
I have
you
a big pile of stickers. I'm waiting for like what I want to deck out. Like, do I want to do like my rig or like, you know, whatever.
Waiting for a thing that you want to deck out and then doing it. Honestly, I love that. I like that strategy. I just throw them on whatever.
Yeah. I should throw some of like the duplicates up wherever. Just test the waters.
I was never selling like long before I bought it, and so it's just covered in stickers because I know I'm never getting rid of the thing, so it's a mess now.
I
have a drum head with the stickers hanging on the wall. Sick.
That rocks.
Hell yeah.
I feel like you go to work, or like you go to school, and you see someone have like a laptop, and it's like all stressed out with like stickers. Do people like they not see my laptop with anything on? They think that like I'm not expressive at all, you know? So
stickers for my Mac.
I just be better at like putting stickers on stuff and like being like, oh, I got the sticker to cool cocktail. It'll be plopping on my phone or plopping on my laptop.
Okay, I don't get putting stickers on a MacBook because like that shit's expensive.
Yeah,
and like I would never put that stickers on like $1,000 computer.
So like you know, back in the day, when you get the MacBook, the Apple insignia actually wasn't on the Mac. Did you guys know that?
No.
Wait, what?
When the first MacBooks came out, so like Mod, she has like a newer one, so like obviously it like glows when you turn it on. The original MacBooks, they didn't have an Apple. They didn't have that on the logo, like embedded in the laptop. So, like, people would buy the actual Apple sticker and just plop it on their MacBook, and that's how you knew it'd be a MacBook.
Oh yeah,
doing that to like an HP or something, just covering up the HP logo with the Mac logo.
My Mac, I swear.
No,
my cousin actually did do that when he got his laptop.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
It's so funny to walk around and see people who have so obviously taken the Apple stickers that they've got and just put them on the back of their car. Like, what is that about? Who's doing that? Are you flexing that you have two Apple products? What? Yeah, you have two Apple products if you've owned an Apple product for more than a year because they just die. So, congratulations. Yeah.
Whose idea was the breakdown at the end of 88 miles per hour? Because I may have shit a brick when I first heard that. So it comes out of left field in the best way. So whose idea was that?
I remember whose idea it was to bring in like that second breakdown, but I do remember that when we were writing it, Adam was like, "Does it need two breakdowns? Is that too much?"
Does it need a breakdown? I don't know.
I'm all for it. I love breakdowns.
I would agree. Just
give people a chance to shake their ass and flail their arms.
Yeah, true.
I just suck at double bass pedal, so I hate breakdowns.
That's fair. As far as like being difficult, I get that.
Like when we like start like playing like songs with like, you know, breakdowns and like obviously faster like tempo songs, you've gotten a lot better at that part. Like I think now you fucking strive at it. Like you're pretty solid. I think
the breakdowns that our new guitarist PJ writes like is fucking ridiculous, and like I can't play that shit easily.
Sure. We still call PJ like our new guitarist, but you know what? He's been in the band for about a year. He's not new anymore.
Yeah. For the fans at home.
In
yeah.
a music video.
Yeah, he's in one music video. What the hell's that?
I think the Fonte has been murdered, unfortunately.
Sorry. I'm also extremely hot right now. My bad.
No.
No, it's all good. I'm right there with you. It's so
not bad. Really, like, the dialogue that we have right now is our conversations, like, in general, like, we'll be on topic about something, and then I'll just say, I'll be on the topic of what we're talking about, but then I'll, like, branch out that and multiverse that topic and make it something else that it does need to be.
That's, like, exactly how this podcast works, so I honestly love that. That's perfect. That's the way you know.
It's frustrating when he does it at band practice.
That's kind of true.
I'm just facing a bunch of ways. I can't help it.
Yeah, but also, because you're the vocalist, I feel like the voice is your instrument, so it's like, that's fair. You're just like, you're practicing. So
exactly.
What do you mean? It's practice.
What's the harm in that? What do you mean you want me to stop talking?
Sounds like we're at band practice, so doing a great job.
As long as you remember your words, I don't care. There was a point where he wasn't very good at remembering words.
He wasn't playing in the band very, very long ago where I didn't remember. Because, you know, I was like Adam. Adam didn't want to pay for studio time. He did the band to take it seriously. And I didn't want to, like, put my time into practicing. I didn't want to take it seriously either. But, you know, obviously it's more noticeable. I don't do a comparison to sound because I'm a vocal versus, like, someone caring about the sound and their quality, you know, their music right away. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's a bit now. Also, too, like, I don't write all the lyrics as well. Like Adam takes turns, Ma takes turns, Kevin and DJ both take turns a little bit. So, like, I think now, like, when it comes to that, I think it's cooler. Because, like, I know, like, so we have, like, obviously, like, some music coming out, like, eventually. And, like, one of the songs we've written, Ma and I both wrote together.
Love.
What did you say, Mod?
Eventually.
Eventually.
But yeah, on those two songs, both we did collaborative songwriting for at least parts of it. The lyrics, especially. I mean,
yeah, we wrote
a lot of the lyrics with Seth, like, in the studio.
Yeah, I was out getting high playing basketball while you guys were writing lyrics.
That rocks. Just tell me when to hit the drums and I will do it.
And then I did all my drums like the first like 3-4 hours we were in the studio, and we were there for 3 days, so I literally like had nothing to do. So I just balled up the entire time.
Almost immediately.
Kid turning the quiz in like 10 minutes into the period. Just as a power move.
Yeah.
Respect that. That was me. I did it. I get it.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I could be kind of misremembering, or it also might have kind of skewed my vision just because of how low the ceiling is, but I don't know how much remember the venue in Columbus, but, like, it is kind of a weird, like, shape near the front of the stage with the ceiling. Devontae, I feel like you were tall as fuck. How tall are you? Am I wrong?
You are absolutely correct.
Oh, yes.
I'm pretty tall. I'm 6'7".
Hell yes, that rocks. Yeah.
It's like, it's really weird too, because I don't realize how much taller I am than everyone else in the band until I, like, see, like, promos or pictures of us, where it's just like, I am a good, like, almost 2 feet taller than almost everyone in the band.
Kevin's, like, kind of tall.
Kevin's, like, 5'11", maybe 6 foot max. But it's like
the classic 5'11 and a half.
Yeah. Adam, you are not 5'11.
I remembered I'm 5'9.
Dude, I'm 5'8. Are you taller than me?
I think we're like about the same height, or like I maybe built like a chode taller.
Okay, yeah. You don't have to lie.
No, actually, Adam, we know you're a short king of the band because
we love
I'm 5'9".
Joe Rogan's a short king. It's okay. He makes money. We like Joe Rogan around here. Do we? No.
Do we like? I don't really. Think we I mean, like Joe really, Rogan no, around
but,
here.
No.
Joe Rogan keeps going on like really awful anti-vaccine rants.
Oh, Jesus and Christ.
A lot of people straight up think that he's lying about being not vaccinated.
That's so funny. That's such an insane thing to be lying about nowadays. That's incredible.
He keeps like canceling events because he's not vaccinated, but there's a lot of blind items and rumors that he is indeed vaccinated.
That's so funny. That's incredible.
Yeah. Being vaccinated and still plugging ivermectin. Come on.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
He did take it. He took ivermectin.
That shit sounds gross.
Horse dewormer, like everyone is saying, but he did take ivermectin tablets.
Yeah.
Which is still stupid.
Yeah, which you shouldn't do, to be clear. Which is not a good thing to do.
No. I also found out that the reason he has bubble gut is from taking steroids.
I fucking saw that on Twitter. I didn't realize that was a thing.
So all the shit he talks about being so in shape and being like, he's like, I'm in my prime. I feel the best I ever have. I eat so great. I treat my body so well. And it's like, dude, your body is like literally permanently fucked up from you abusing drugs.
I think it was like maybe a screenshot of a recent Joe Rogan Instagram post where it's like, he was talking about how he's trying to get like reconnected with nature and his body or whatever. And is just like cooking a bunch of meat to like feel connected. And he's like, as a part of his like diet and as a part of his routine, he's like, he made this long Instagram post. It's a photo of just like probably 5 pounds of beef, if I had to guess, just like kind of cut into like steaks,
right?
Looking shit. And it is this long ass caption about how he's trying to like connect with, I don't know, health or whatever the world, whatever stupid bullshit Joe Rogan says. And it's like, he's just cooking. My man's just cooking meat. He's grilling and it's like making it a health and wellness men's thing. I love it. Honestly,
he's so odd.
Honestly, he's incredible. He's one of the incredible characters of the world.
Oh, absolutely.
Real piece of shit, but
factor to what he is now.
Oh my God. Yeah. Watching Fear Factor now is kind of tough. I like put it on one time because I thought it would be like a fun background watch. It's kind of not fun to watch.
I've never seen it. I just seen like GIFs and clips and stuff.
Yeah, it's like, it's like sort of horrifying.
I have a smart TV. I'm like, when you get a smart TV, obviously, like, there's like you get like certain channels or like an app where like, it plays like live TV or certain things. Like, you get like Deal or No Deal TV or like Hell's Kitchen TV. There's a channel specifically for Fear Factor 24/7. And like sometimes, like when I'll just like I'll like, come home from work or something, I'll just like get high. And I'm like, oh, I want to watch The Office for the 50,000th time. I'm gonna put on Fear Factor. And I'll just sit there watching. I'm just like, oh my god, the fact that like, they let people like they were like this was a show back in the early 2000s.
Yeah, I know like, that people were like watching it because that's outrageous or whatever, but it's like truly outrageous.
Like, jeez.
TV like, in the early 2000s was some wild shit.
The prime of Jackass.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god. I can't wait till that new Jackass movie comes out. I am gonna go see that movie in theaters. I don't give a fuck.
I'm pretty excited for that as well, actually.
Oh my god.
I feel like it's not gonna be like anywhere near the same kind of shit that they used to do though. Like they're all old and like
the trailer makes it look like it's still pretty.
I think it is. I think they are just doing, I think you're right. There's no way they're like doing
how the as fuck is Steve-O still alive? Like, how?
I think that man.
He got clean. And I think like he started. Who is he dating? Like, who is he married to or whatever?
I have no idea.
She's like pretty noble or nothing. But
Steve-O?
Yeah, Steve-O's like married.
I could be
he
wrong.
He has a podcast now, too.
I think that he went big. Like, you're right. I think he got clean and sober. And then I also think he went big vegan energy. I could be wrong about that, but I want to say he became like aggressively vegan because I remember that thing about him like doing a stunt where he was going to get arrested from being on some kind of like pole, like crane or something. He was just like stuck on
for a while. That happened.
He was protesting SeaWorld and he had illegally climbed up on a billboard, I believe.
Yeah, which is good. Like fireworks. That rocks. You should be like, good for him. That rocks. That's good. But
good for him.
Yeah, Steve-O does kind of rock. Which honestly,
yeah, he has a podcast that's pretty good that he just like interviews like random like famous people that aren't really famous anymore, but like have talked about their old being famous. It's kind of good.
It's actually a kind of a sick concept for a podcast, just like picking up people after they've peaked, so like they're gonna come on.
You know, like Stephanie from Full House, like the middle girl, like he like did an interview with her and that was like pretty interesting about like the like old shit that like used to be on the Full House set. So yeah, he does like a whole bunch of different people though. Rob Dyrdek's on there.
he'll just take anything though. He'll do anything. He'll work. As long as it's
working. He was never really famous.
Oh, Rob Dyrdek was so famous.
I don't know.
To every skateboarder, like, he is the most famous fucker.
Besides every skateboarder. I know, obviously, that's still a pretty big part of the population, but, like, that's only one seed or demographic he's famous to.
I think
it was skateboards and people who watched any of the bullshit shows on MTV. Yes. Just, yeah. Like, after school.
I loved Robin Big and Fantasy Factory. Ridiculous when it first started.
Robin Big was one of my favorite shows.
If you're, like, if you're on tour or something, or you're just in a hotel, and you don't know what to watch, you always have Ridiculousness.
You always have that.
That's true.
Ridiculousness is always an option.
Is it, like, great? No. But it is there for you. It's there every time. It's the ramen of television.
You have that channel, and you have Fox News at every hotel that you go to. Every other one has, like, it's, like, blurrier. There's, like, no sound.
Yeah. You have FX, and they're in the middle of a movie, and you can't tell what movie it is. It's, like, the second Aquaman movie or something.
It's the Underworld prequel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so the Rise of the Silver Surfer, Fantastic Four movie.
Why did they do that?
I remember really liking this.
How
as a
did
kid,
the first
so
one
funny.
Even make enough money for that to have been a thing?
I don't know.
The original first Fantastic Four was actually not that bad. Like, the original
They're
one was Chris Evans.
They're rebooting it again.
Yeah. So, yes. I heard a rumor that they're recasting them, obviously, and Chris Evans is going to reprise his role as the Human Torch.
Interesting.
And that would be fair.
That wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Gang, I feel like it might be a good time for a break. I feel like we should take a little potty break, you know, get a sip of water. We'll do a little ad break. Let's hang out. Let's chillax, and then we'll come back and we'll wrap this shit up. In the meantime, be right back.
It's January and my life is a fucking mess. Jacob is depressed because I booked too many guests.
What the fuck? I told you not to do this shit, dude. I'm too tired for this. I don't wanna do it.
It's too late for that now. Buckle up. Let's sit down. Time to meet new friends because Banjuary never ends.
Hey, gang. It's Jacob. Just Jacob coming at you again, much like last week, solo style. Robin is not here. He's stuck. He got his penis stuck, like tongue on a cold lipo style, on a cold lipo. So he's not here. I don't know. He's not here. So I'm doing the ad read. Much like last week, this is a long one, so I'm not going to take up too much of your time. I just wanted to remind you, if you like the show, you can rate and review us 5 stars. You can do that on Spotify and iTunes. It really does help out the show a lot. So if you like us, leave us a review over there. It'd be super, super helpful. This, like I said, is a very long one. I believe it's our longest episode to date, so I appreciate you hanging with us. I got nothing else for you, so back to the bullshit.
I had to put the pen across the room.
Oh man, yeah. I honestly had to do the same thing. Like 15 minutes ago, I was like, "Woo! I haven't said a word in 10 minutes."
Woo! Yeehaw!
Yeah, yeehaw! That is correct. My little kitty just got spayed, so she's got the little cone on currently. Because it's not a cone. They gave her basically just a pillow.
Which is so cute.
It's so cute. It's a lemon.
Oh, that's adorable.
She's a little sweetie.
If I could find my phone, I would drop a cat pic, but probably left it with the pen across the room.
I left my phone with my pen in my... other bedroom.
What song is that?
Love Your Friends Die Laughing. Man Overboard.
We made love tonight as a result of a fight. When you put your arms
back. Adam.
I haven't listened to that song in forever.
No, that's me neither. My buddy was our friend Keelan, friend of the show Keelan, texted us like 3 days ago. Was like, "Have you guys heard of Man Overboard?" I was like, "Yeah, yes, I have. Yes." What do you mean? I was like, "That's the Defend Pop Punk band." He's like, "That's the Defend Pop Punk band." Like, these are really
their
good.
Meme before
they. They like got back together like right before the pandemic.
Did they?
Yeah, and then obviously they haven't done anything since.
No,
because of the pandemic.
Because of the ongoing global pandemic that we've been having.
Yeah, yeah.
What a bad time to get back together.
It almost feels it almost feels hacked to talk about it now because it's just like what everybody has been doing for several years now. It's crazy to think about. That's just what life is like now.
It sucks.
yeah, that's also that's true.
You know what would make it suck a little bit less? A fucking check in my pocket.
Yeah!
Come on.
Let me get some money. I
don't
want to go to work.
Come on, Joe Biden.
What does it take to get actually like money from Discord?
From Discord?
Yeah, like how do people get paid for that?
I have no idea.
I gotta get you guys some money.
That's true.
That would be cool.
Yeah,
I was looking at
the like one of the websites that you can like get ads from, and I was looking at like the requirements, and it was like, you know, release a certain amount of content, like be professional. I was like, okay, cool, we can do this. And then it was like 1,000 listeners, and we were like, oh,
can you guys be professional?
Well, that's step one.
We can turn it on when we need to. We will read what they put in the copy. We may spice it up a bit.
Yeah, I will read everything that they send me, but I've reserved the right to also say whatever else I want.
As long as you say the specific words that are on the paper and you don't say anything that's like definitely untrue or offensive.
Yeah. As long as you don't say anything that's like legally actionable, I think that should be okay.
Yeah.
I think you should be able to get paid for ads like that. And that's why we don't have any ads. That's why we have zero.
It's really generous to keep calling it an ad break.
Yeah, calling it an ad break.
It's literally just rate us on Spotify, please. Yeah.
The secret is that it's an ad for us. That's the real secret.
The whole thing is an ad.
It's like how as when I was a kid, like, and I would watch like Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon, they had like real commercials, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you watch the Disney Channel and it's just commercials for Disney Channel.
Yeah.
It's exclusively self-promotion.
Disney has the money where they don't need
That's probably how it is now with Disney Plus and everything. It's like they just I would imagine, I don't watch a lot of Disney Plus, but I would imagine it's mostly just ads for other Disney Plus stuff. Cuz that's the idea. It's you're just a Disney person when you do that. How horrifying that would be. I'm just watching
it. I like, think it's
Loki.
Like straight up robbery that you can pay for Hulu and still have ads on it.
Yeah, that is wild.
Yeah.
Like that's just fucked.
It's highway robbery. It is.
It's like $15 for the plan with no ads.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like a lot of times, the ads are mixed way louder than the show you're watching.
Yes, every time. Every single time.
That's how it is on actual TV too, though. Like when you're watching a movie on FX at like 11:30 p.m., like the commercial is way louder than whatever fucking dialogue they just cut from.
Yeah.
Yeah, then some asshole starts yelling at you about how he's trying to find some guy that, like, replaced his toilet with a joke toilet. With a little joke toilet.
Okay, so, Maude, the last time that we talked about I Think You Should Leave, I had not seen season two. Two of you were riffing back and forth, and I had no idea what was going on.
I think that factored into the very long discussion we had about cum.
I think it probably was the catalyst of because the cum conversation.
We spent so much time talking about nut.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we can say this.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we can say that was our most... That was our most downloaded episode last year.
That is actually true.
That's what's up.
We just got our Buzzsprout roundup.
Yeah. They sent us like a little Spotify roundup looking thing for our podcast. That's cute as hell.
That is cool.
I really like that.
Our most listened to city was Tulsa. So shout out to fucking Cliff Diver too, honestly.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I love them so much.
Yeah.
They're such good people.
I miss them every day.
Obviously, it was like fun to have them on and talk to them. But to meet them in person, to see them play a damn show, oh my God.
They're so good live.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Such a treat.
Like, they're better, they're like, live than they are recording.
They're all fucking sweethearts. They're so nice.
I was talking to my girlfriend because we were listening to, there was a Cliff Diver song on or something. And we were like, I was like, I can't listen to this version anymore because now I need to hear Brie on it too. Like, I'm missing it on every track.
Yeah, I hope eventually they can go back and like do a re-recording of some of those songs like with Brie on it. Like, that'd be really cool.
Yeah, that honestly would be super sick. It was such a treat to see them do those live. Honestly, yeah. I don't think we've talked enough about how much of a fucking banger that show was. That was such a goddamn good time. That's like one of the best shows I've ever been to. It was so fun.
Thank you.
What a truly delightful time that was.
Oh yeah.
It was like I also feel like you guys
sounded good at that show, I feel like.
Yeah, 1,000,000%. I thought you guys sounded fantastic. I feel like you also somehow managed to plan a tour sort of at the perfect time in the midst of the pandemic. Oh, yeah. Like, I kind of don't know how you slid in there in between the middle of like in between two different quarantines, but you kind of slid right through.
Oh yeah, right when Delta was ending, but like right before the shit hit the fan, like in December.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like you guys got back like right at the perfect time, so like nothing got canceled. Like when we went out, I never felt like I was like not threatened. Really, it was like it was cool. It was like nice to just go to a show and have fun and not be worried about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was super sick. What a fucking great time that was.
Word Omicron until like days after we were home already.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, what a treat. That's when that that post tour depression really do be hitting hard, right?
that was really fueling.
I've had major post tour depression since we got home.
Yeah.
Yeah, literally the second I got home, I'm like, I hate life now again.
You do that on the road.
I miss my friends.
I did the Arcadia Grey tour, and I got back, and I was fine because I was literally home for like 3 days before I went into the studio for Cleveland Avenue, and then a week after
that was like a week later.
Yeah, I didn't have time to be upset about being home. I was like, all right, we're gonna leave again, and then after getting home, and then like not having any more plans to tour in like the near future, it was like.
It was like, damn.
What am I gonna do?
Are we back to recording?
It's really hard to say. I mean, I think so. I think absolutely. It just kind of fades. It just kind of comes in whenever. You know, it's hard to say.
Hey, welcome back to the shit.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've been chatting for a little while.
Yep, that is the case. That's the case.
Yeah.
Honestly, we might as well just roll into that. We're going interviewer mode again. Sorry about it. We got to ask some hard questions.
All right.
You've mentioned the studio.
Yep.
The stew.
You mentioned the stew a couple times. Mm-hmm. You know, we've mapped out the timeline between the tours. You know, everything we've triangulated.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm doing this. I'm the Zach Galifianakis GIF in my head with all the math. Right now, I'm lining everything up. Yep. Like,
So, do y'all have anything to share? If you don't have anything to share, then that's news in and of itself. So,
well, we do got songs coming eventually, coming from the stew. Eventually.
Eventually,
what's up?
We are planning to get the stew again pretty soon.
Oh, very
hell
cool.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
We're making bangers.
Yeah,
please give us more bangers.
Yeah,
please.
I would love some more if you could provide.
Oh yeah,
the singles that we just worked on are my favorite things we've ever done. So I think y'all will be, and I mean y'all have heard one of the songs because we played it.
Right,
we did play live.
That's true.
Everyone that saw us on tour has heard one of the songs. that's going to come out first. So
it's coming. Hell yeah.
Do we have a
new shit on the horizon.
Yeah, it'll be like we'll have like a couple singles coming out over the next couple months. Yeah, like I said, like my or Adam said, one is when we played on tour. We're really excited to hear these songs, like actually like be out, people hear. I would say that one of the songs is definitely still in the same similar direction of what we've been doing. Just a little bit more like kind of maybe on the poppier side. Mm-hmm. And the other song is definitely, I would say probably kind of like in the direction of like Untaken, like, you know, kind of like that, like grittier, harder rock sound, but still like, still bouncy, like still like everyone be able to feel the vibe of that, but it's definitely something different. And I'm really excited to like, you know, show like the growth. Cause like that's all you really want as a musician. Like you want to like, make sure your fans connect with the music. At the same time, though, you want to be true to yourself and just show growth from every project you release. And I definitely think people are going to be like, wow, this is like probably the best that they've written. So
yeah.
I'm really excited for people to hear that and like get the opportunity to play these songs live when we like go on tour again or play on that show.
I really think that Seth was a big help in that too.
And, yeah.
Like, I can't say enough good things about Roy Robley. Like, mm-hmm. I'd recommend him to anyone. But our label was generous enough to pay for someone a little bit more expensive. And Seth, who's, you know, famous for all the Knuckle Puck stuff and some of the earlier Real Friends catalog and the most recent Broadside record, he actually did the most recent Cliff Diver stuff as well. So it was nice to tour with them and, you know,
have share stories.
That is very true.
Super good at what he does.
Little Seth tour cooking. that's kind of cool. I love that for you guys.
Yeah. That's super cool too. Like he was like, it was like for me, it's like, you know, he's literally produced the albums of like two of my like all time favorite bands.
Oh, absolutely.
Like he produced like albums that have like affected me like life wise and just like overall just like something I listened to as a kid. So like I literally like for the first 5 minutes of meeting them, because like I know like Adam, PJ, Kevin got there earlier today. Ma and I got there later. So like, you know, Adam finishes like his drums already, their contract and guitars. And like, you know, and it really hit me that we were actually going to like record with Seth Henderson, but that never hit me yet. Until like we got in and we sat there. And then I had like for five minutes I had like a fucking big ass fanboy moment over Seth.
Yeah. I'm just like, Seth, I mean, how do you know?
When you walk in, he's got all the records he's done like framed and in plaques and stuff, and they're all displayed with like a vinyl variant coming out of it, and like it's very like well arranged. It looks really nice and very professional, and like he's got a really big one for Copacetic because it won so many awards, and it's got all the accolades and stuff on it. It's it's very like, man, this dude's done like every album I like. Like, all of them.
Yeah, he's done like looking at them all, being like, "Oh, that's a bunch of good albums." You made all these. Holy shit!
Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm about to record music with this man. So, the fact that we like obviously we're only there for 3 days and we did two singles, like just in that small period of time, I was like, holy fuck, like. This is amazing. Like, we're just going to take it to the next level. Mm-hmm. And I'm so excited to get back there to record another record with him, Because, like, that's going to be fucking...
He was so candid and honest with us, too.
Yeah.
Like, I won't name anything because I don't want to get him in trouble or, like, talk shit about anyone or anything. But if you asked him his opinion on an album he's worked on, he would absolutely just shoot straight with you. And there are a few times where we were like, what was it like working with this band? How do you feel about this record? And he would literally be like, hated it. That I actually hate that album. I think it sucks.
Which is fair. I feel like he had that opportunity because he did it. So it's totally fair. You can absolutely do that. Hell yeah. The mark of a good artist to be able to look at your shit and be like, that's not very, you know, I didn't actually like this one a lot.
Yeah. And I mean, the ones that he's really proud of, he's really, really proud of. But the one that's, it was just so funny to me that, because I feel like most people sugarcoat that kind of thing. Will be like, oh, you know, it wasn't my favorite experience. And he's just like, Yeah, no, I hate that one.
He was very, very blunt, which I respect 100%, like, a lot about him.
Yeah,
he explained, like, how, like, Capstan, like, recorded some of their, like, ridiculous, like, riffs and stuff. And, like, it's crazy just, like, hearing the process of, like, how that shit goes down.
I can only imagine. I mean, like, I feel like you guys, I didn't stop you earlier, but you guys talked a lot of shit about the very first EP, and I haven't heard it, so I don't know how bad it is, but I feel like if I was to, like, try to put effort into releasing music or something, it would probably turn out a lot like that. So, in a way, I feel like everybody's gonna have that experience where you put out something that's, maybe it's not necessarily the best, but you are, like, at least trying and you're putting yourself out there. And even if it's not your number one, like, you know, best EP or whatever, fucking take it off streaming. Not at the end of the world. It's fine. Put it on Bandcamp.
We did. It's only on Bandcamp for a reason.
Exactly.
Yeah. I honestly agree with you on that, too. Because it's like, you know, like Adam said, like, we did that. It was just kind of like, you know, we were playing covers for a couple of months and we were like, oh, you know what? Let's try some music. Like, whatever, you know? Because, like, everyone who starts a band, like, eventually wants to start writing their own music. And, you know, like, to be honest with you, like, we really thought at that point, like, I still think so, that, like, the songs we wrote, like, had potential in regards to, like, what we wanted to display or portray as, like, those songs. I think we did a very good job of doing that live. It just, like, we just didn't do a very good job of doing that, like, through recording. Mm-hmm. And, like,
you know, there was a vision.
Yeah, like, there was a vision. You're right. There was a vision. And, like, we tried to, like, portray that as much as we could. But it's just so funny because, like, I'm thinking back to that, like, three and a half, almost four years ago. I'm just thinking back to that. It's like, oh, damn, dude. Like, I remember when we first released the EP. We were, like, all giddy that, like, oh, it hit 100 streams. Like, you know, oh, we're doing this, doing that, whatever. And it's just, like, I just remember, like, being giddy over that and just being, like, excited that, like, you know, why would people listen to, like, our music? And now, like, we have, like, thousands of people that listen to our music. And it's just kind of, like, it's crazy to see, like, where you come from in that regards. And just, like, overall, just, like, you know, yeah, like, you're right. It sounds shitty. But to, like, someone else, like, we obviously have, like, very genuine fans that come to us and be, like, I'll be, like, yeah, what's your favorite song? And they'll, like, and they'll say, like, oh, Come to You. Or they'll say, like, Take Your Vitamins. And I'm just, like... Like, why do you think that? Well, that helps you realize, like, those are your true fans. Like, those are the fans that see what your vision was, what you were trying to do. And they don't, like, look at it through. They don't quickly judge. It sounds awful, you know? Yeah. So
we're like, we respect your opinion, but you're wrong. That's not your favorite song.
It's cool that you think that objectively incorrect.
Well, obviously, it's not as good.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
Anything pre-mod is not good.
True.
Yeah, our most viewed music video is from that EP.
Comes here.
That very first. Yeah, that's our most viewed music video still.
I feel like it's the most viewed just out of the virtue of being out the longest.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's because Tommy played with Green Day. It's only because it got posted in a Green Day live video. Our old guitarist played with Green Day, and someone posted in the comments, yo, this dude's in a band. And, like, a lot of people went to it from that, so.
Well, there you go.
Can't complain.
I mean, fair enough.
Some people think that he's still in the band. They think that our new guitarist is just, like, him, but with a different look.
Yeah.
They don't look too different, which is annoying.
I can see why someone, like, would think that he had just, like, cut his hair and got some more tattoos or something.
He got, like, 5 or 6 inches taller.
You've got, like, the lineup of all the prospective new guitarists, and you pick the one that, like, looks closest to.
What's funny is he was the first person that we tried after our old guitarist left, and, like, it was immediately a perfect fit. So we were lucky that we had a pretty smooth transition.
There you go.
It's like guitarist number 325, can you please turn sideways? All right. Right. Can you please go into a crab stance? All right. Thank you.
Can you two-step?
Can you show me how to do stuff?
Can you make that sound on your guitar where you whack it behind the nut and it goes, bah! Can you do that? Okay, great.
My very first guitar that I ever owned, I busted the nut. I tuned it to drop A on just like regular ass strings and was just fucking wailing on it, doing like power chords to some In Flames song. And I like yanked up too hard on one of the strings and it just popped like the very edge of the nut off. So I just had a loose string. Yeah, I busted a nut.
I've busted a nut as well.
We're not talking about Come On This One?
About halfway through the Arcadia Grey Tour, I developed this really fun way to end the show, which was I turned all my pedals on and then I like took my guitar off and held it in front of the amp so it just made the most disgusting noise you've ever heard. And then I would drop it so it landed face down and then it would make an even more disgusting noise. And then I would like take the master knob and like turn it down and it would like fade out and that's how the show would end. And at the second to last show, I did that. And then I picked up the guitar when I was done and I had chipped off the top of the nut where it holds in the lowest E string. So like it still plays fine, but if I strum too hard, then it pops out of place. So like I get that fixed.
Oh no.
Yeah.
As a drummer.
That is not an easy thing.
It looked
thing
really to... cool. It looked very cool, but I did break my guitar. So maybe I should stop.
As a drummer, I've never busted a nut. Can't say that.
Can't say I have either as a vocalist.
I broke a bass once trying to play drums with the bass. That was not a very smart thing to do. We ended a set and I smacked. This was when I was in like a skate punk band, like in high school. And we ended the set and I, on the last note, I took my bass and I smacked one of the cymbals with it and then just took out a chunk. I say a chunk. It was a pretty like small amount, but it took out some of the fretboard.
Oh no.
Wait, so you hit it with the, like, you swung and hit it with the body of the bass, or just, like, the top little neck piece?
I hit it, like, with the, like, it landed around, like, the second fret area.
That honestly is metal as hell. I honestly love that. I respect it.
It was really fun. Again, looked very cool, but I did break my instrument.
Was extremely cool, unfortunately.
I didn't do it.
That's sick.
Yeah, what's next on the agenda here? All right, do we want to talk about the NFL question, or do we want to talk about Yu-Gi-Oh?
I want to hear about Yu-Gi-Oh.
I used to have like the Yu-Gi-Oh, like the whole arm thing that had the card layout.
Oh, hell yeah. Well,
yes,
the
dual disc. Same. The dual disc?
I had a couple of them.
Come on, Jesus.
Yu-Gi-Oh was like, that was probably my first like special interest that I really remember, and I was into it for a very long time and still kind of am.
I still play Yu-Gi-Oh. I still play.
I never understood for me getting into anime, so that was interesting.
That's true. The Yu-Gi-Oh to anime pipeline.
Yu-Gi-Oh is a gateway anime.
Yeah. I actually got, I think, the same game that you just got. Have you played it yet?
I have. I've been playing it literally all day.
It's kind of sick. You like play it's through the whole story arc of Yu-Gi-Oh, like using like their decks. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Sometimes the decks fucking suck dick.
Yeah. And there's a hard spike in difficulty at like the fifth battle, but
yeah.
I'm sorry, duel. Excuse
me. Luckily, the starter decks are really good, and so if you're getting clapped, you could just switch to the starter deck, and that's to do fine for me. I started at Yu-Gi-Oh! GX also because I saw that before I saw the original anime, really. Mm-hmm. So I decided to start with Yu-Gi-Oh! GX.
To be honest, like
the original series.
Yeah. To be honest, the OG series is okay, but like in my personal opinion, I think Yu-Gi-Oh! GX is the best Yu-Gi-Oh!
So much more watchable.
Oh, 100%.
Because like that four kids like voice acting group, because like that's how that worked before. You had to hire them all as a cast, which is why all the four kids shows have the same voice actors. They're not the most talented group of people. Yu-Gi-Oh! Dub is a little rough.
Yeah.
Oh, with Joey Wheeler.
There are some incredible voices in the original one, though. Weevil Underwood is phenomenal.
Weevil Underwood.
Wizard.
Thousand Dragon.
Red Eyes, Black Dragon.
You know what always got you back, Yug?
They spell out Yug weird in the game, too. They do it Y-U-G-E, which just feels wrong to me.
That's how I do it.
Huge.
That's huge.
That's huge.
Huge.
That is huge. Huge. Yeah, exactly. Disgusting old name.
How would you spell it? Y-O-O-G? What do you want them to do?
I feel like I would just do Yug.
Like, that's not right. It's not right either.
I would,
that's worse.
But I would know from the context.
Hear me out. Why you with an umlaut? G?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that's like the correct you. Answer, objectively. Like the phonetic spelling.
Yeah. I was gonna say you do it that way or spell it like Y-W-G.
Mm-hmm. Like Y-U-U-G.
Yeah.
Y-E-W-G.
Yug. That Yug. Sounds right to me.
Yug. See, that's Yug. Even, that's like canon. More, we need, that's more the accent coming through.
We need to DM no. fucking Bandai Namco or whatever. And
yeah. Well, no. I think Yug is Konami.
That's Yug-O. Right.
Yu-Gi-Oh!
I think the games, like the video games might be also that. But Konami, I don't know. I'm stupid, yeah. So.
Me too. Who's to say, really?
Yeah.
But yeah, the PS store sale is like raging right now, and I was like, I want to get a game. I need to find a new game.
I ended up getting it for the Switch because it was like nice. On sale.
Yeah, I saw that you had it in a box. I just got it like digitally.
Yeah.
Can I grab another Xbox One?
Probably. I think it's on all three systems.
Oh yeah. I just remember like obviously, like I wasn't physically bringing my cards to school anymore, but like I would play like Dueling Network. Like I was on Dueling Network, which was basically like Yu-Gi-Oh, but like online, like social network. You would just like log on, you could play against your friends, you could put together your own deck, which is super cool, and they had it by actual rules. So like you had to have three of every card, except for Pot of Greed. You only get one of those bitches because that's fucking bullshit.
I'm just chaining Pot of Greeds in the fucking Switch game into like Graceful Charities, just popping off to get Exodia.
There's a video. Hey, now I play Pot of Greed, and I'm gonna use my Pot of Greed to draw two more Pot of Greeds. And he just keeps chaining that, and he has like five Pot of Greeds, and he never plays a monster. He just like keeps drawing Pot of Greed. I'm just like, yeah, that's the reason why this card is only one. But no,
when I played the physical card game, I always thought there was like a limit to how many cards you could hold in your hand. But then when I play this video game version, that doesn't seem to be a thing.
Yeah, it's really crazy. Like how in the OG Yu-Gi-Oh, a lot of stuff was just like they just did it, and then when they got to like it was crazy when they got out of like. The Duelist Kingdom, like, and then it went to like the Battle City arc of like the first like series, is when they actually start doing the rules. So it's like, all right, you can normal summon if you have a monster more than 5 stars or more, you have to sacrifice and like actually do this.
Yeah,
so then
started doing
true. Yeah, so.
My understanding is that the I heard that the anime was coming out before the game was actually finished.
Okay, that
sounds
and
right.
The game was like more inspired by the anime. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially because the original series of Yu-Gi-Oh, the American version, is nothing like the Japanese anime. It's like heavily doctored to feature the card game and stuff. It's a very different thing.
Yeah, it's like super dark if you read the first volume of the Yu-Gi-Oh manga. Kills people.
What?
Yeah. And they also play like with dice. It's like not a card game.
Yeah, they do whatever. They're like, he's like the game master, and so he like finds these bad people, and like there's like a guy who's really greedy, and he like does some game with money, and
his deck is full of Pot of Greeds. He just keeps drawing cards.
That's so right.
Greedy.
He's so greedy. The only Yu-Gi-Oh game I had as a kid, I remember, I mean, Robin knows more about it than me. He brought it up like a week or two ago, but It was an old game where I think it was on, I don't know if it's the same one you've been playing, because I want to say mine was on Game Boy. Like, maybe Game Boy Color. But I feel like the rules, like, it just let you fuse whatever you wanted. Like, anything that made sense would just fuse together and make a different card.
Like, oh, it's fire and it's a dragon? Okay, now it's the fire dragon. Yeah, or cat like, and girl, now that. You have the Neko girl.
And I would just lose the game because I was more interested in, like, figuring out what cards go together. Like, just not be playing the game. Just playing whatever random fusions it would let me.
There were some cool ones for, like, the GameCube and stuff with 3D models of the monsters actually fighting each other, but most of the video games have just been like card simulators.
True.
I really wanted, like, as a kid to like pull out my dual disc, throw out like a holographic, like, you know, thing that could play the monsters and have them like fight in front of me. Like, I wanted that so bad. And you know, it's funny, like, right? That like I wanted to like pop up and be like, all right, they're in front of me, like fighting with the eye on the show. Like I wanted that so bad. And it's like, you know, I figured we're in 2022, we're in the future, that shit would be happening right now. Yeah. But obviously it's not. You know, it's just how I assumed that like have flying cars by now, but yeah. we still have no flying cars.
Well, instead, we're building dick rockets.
No time. Capitalism gives people no time to work on fun things like realistic Yu-Gi-Oh! Fight sequences.
That's right.
I mean, you watch the anime, and these people, they're in stadiums, and they're watching, like, multiple duels at the same time, especially in, like, 5Ds. You're like, what the fuck is all they're riding around on motorcycles with this shit? Like, we could have that for real, but no, we have to go to work to pay our bills or whatever.
I'm really
interested. Did you watch the 5Ds movie?
What is that?
I watched the 5Ds movie, yeah.
Someone explained to me the motorcycle thing. They just did an entire like arc of the show that they were just on motorcycles the entire
time.
It's not an arc. It's the whole show.
It's the actual series. Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds. Yeah. So basically, they just a dual disc and like just instead of you having a dual disc and you're dueling holographically, you're in like a fucking like arena, and the whole arena is like a hologram. Like they project holograms, and the bike is your fucking dual disc.
Yeah. 5Ds is also sick though, because it's like pretty expressively anti-police and anti-prison.
Yeah,
I'm gonna actually like have when to give Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds.
People go to jail, they get like a permanent tattoo on their face.
Yeah,
and then like people like all judge them for it because they have that mark on their face. Like it's surprise. Like it's not the deepest thing in the world, but for a children's anime, it's pretty deep social commentary.
I was actually pretty impressed with that, and like I caught into that very early as like a 13, 14 year old. I'm like, oh wow, this is definitely the most serious out of like at that time it was like the big three with like Yugi, Jaden, and then whoever I forgot the main character of Fire Emblem guy's name. Actually, if you like go on Netflix, there's like a little like spinoff like movie where like. I think is it Jaden or is it the guy from 5Ds? One of them go back in time and like they team up, like all three team up together.
Then they team up with Jaden and Yugi. That movie, movie's actually really good.
Yeah, it popped up on Netflix one time and I watched it. I was like, oh, this is actually really solid. It was so funny because it was like they were all doing like their own like decks and they were trying to like coincide. And then, like Yugi's just like. Like Yugi's just like playing cards, but like Jaden and the other guy are actually following the rules of
fusion summoning and like
it's just like okay, it was good, it was pretty solid.
Did you guys ever watch like the original series anime with like where Yugi fought Anubis?
Anubis.
I don't think so.
No, like the very first. The only thing I watched was the very first like the OG series. I watched some of that.
Yeah, so there's a movie that takes place like right after that anime.
He fights Anubis?
Is that like a branch movie that goes to Tulsa? I know like there's a time like right before they go to Battle City, like don't they like find out that like Yami is like a pharaoh or something or whatever? Like wasn't that kind of like, the basis of it? Is it part
of the Battle City arc?
Okay.
Yeah, that's like the first. I actually just started watching the Battle City arc.
That's when the dual discs finally show up because they're not in the anime for a while.
Yeah. But now, they also, like, as exposition in the first couple episodes, there's the episode where, like, Yugi goes out and Taya dances at the DDR thing, and he learns that he should, like, follow his heart. And then then he goes to, like, some exhibit, and they're like, hey, you're the Pharaoh, and Kaiba's, like, an evil sorcerer reincarnated.
Yeah, because he's a rich boy, that's why. He's an evil.
Right. I mean, I think it's, like, I don't know if it's the season after it, or if there's... Or you know what? I think that the whole, like, digital world art comes before this, but there's the season where they go back to actual ancient Egypt. they're not fighting with cards anymore. They're using, like, big stone tablets.
Tombstones, yeah. It's the original Duel Monsters, yeah. they're something. And they're like, when you lose, you go to the Shadow Realm, but you die. You don't just, like, you know, lose your most rarest card.
Yeah,
I think we can officially say this has been the nerdiest episode of the podcast on record.
Yugi's there in ancient Egypt, but he's like, it's just the deep voiced one, and he's like in the throne, he's all decked out in jewelry and stuff. It's
that honestly sounds.
And then
sick.
Yugi has to duel the Pharaoh at the end of the series, and it's very dramatic.
Wow. This shit's making me want to get back into Yu-Gi-Oh! Again.
The problem is that it's not as good as it is in your head, because I have tried to rewatch the original series. It just does not hit the same.
It doesn't. I even tried to watch it, like, zoomed out of my mind. I'm just like, it just makes me angry. It really does, especially the original series, where especially when I knew all the rules. I'm like, dude, there's no way that, like, think about it, Yu-Gi should have lost almost every duel he played. He had so much plot armor. You shouldn't be able just to fucking summon Dark Magician whenever you want. And the fact that Exodia, like, wins you the game, like, what's the whole point of that? Like, why is there a card in the game that I love just to win?
Because it's, like, cool. Yugi, at least, like, in the canon of the show, is, like, a good strategist. And, like, I guess I can give him that. But, like, Joey sucks. Joey is not a good duelist. The cards in his deck are not good cards. He wins by some Deus Ex Machina bullshit every time he duels. Like, he's not good at the game. At least not at first. And
it's the heart of the cards.
It's the heart of the
cards. Yeah, he's learning so quickly. It's like, no.
Don't synergize at all. He just summons Time Wizard and Baby Dragon. And that's it. And then he gets the Black Red Jack.
I once played an actual game where we tried to follow the rules of the show, and I had, like, a zombie deck, and in the show it's like every turn Bandit Keith's monsters gain like 10% of their attack power every turn. So I'm sitting there with a pen and paper, like, and a calculator, doing, like, all the math to figure out, okay, this guy's at 2,762 attack points.
In the Duelist Kingdom arc, they can, like, duel anywhere, and so then, like, instead of having field spells, the actual environments they're dueling in are what gives the monsters, like, field advantage and stuff, which is why the zombies had that advantage, I think, because they were fighting, like, in a cave or in a graveyard.
Yeah.
It's all very confusing.
After that part of the season came off, like, field spells are actual thing. It was just like, all right, yeah, let's keep that into the game or whatever. Good old field spells.
Good old field spells.
My attack's sick.
Thanks. It's kind of crusty right now, and I can't stop touching it.
Do you Lubriderm that bad?
I'm bad about not touching it. What's up?
Did you Lubriderm it? Like, did you get some Lubriderm on some lotion? Or?
The artist told me not to put anything on it. He was like, don't put anything on your tattoo. There's been a raw dog in it.
Oh, God.
I think that's...
Sometimes that's the way to do it.
I could be wrong. I think that's what I got told, too, because you want to, like, let it kind of dry out and crust up first, and then it'll, like, heal. You want to, like, let it scab up. Yeah.
See, I was told I got my tattoo. I was told to lotion it up as completely as possible. Maybe that's because, like, you know, I'm black and it shows different on my skin. Maybe. I don't know.
It could be.
I don't know. I've heard different stuff from different artists. Like,
yeah, every artist has a different method
That's fair.
My guy tells me to use Aquaphor, which everybody else says is like the single worst thing that you can do.
Yeah, I used Aquaphor on my chat as well. I did. I was gonna use Lubriderm, but Lubriderm like didn't really do anything for me, so I used Aquaphor and it was perfect. Like, scanned them in a couple days and I was good to go.
Yeah.
I found that my tattoos tend to heal best when I use Bacitracin, but I only have Aquaphor right now, so I just haven't been using it.
Aquaphor is also really good for like your lips, for chap as well.
Oh yeah, true. That shit works wonders.
That is true.
Shout out Aquaphor.
Sponsor us.
Listen, we've been talking about so many brands on the show tonight. Any of you could give us money to talk about your thing like this. Yeah. We will say nice things.
I want a sponsorship for Monster Energy so bad. I'm sick of buying that shit.
Yeah.
The cost adds up, and I drink at least one like every day.
I bought 6 Kickstarts today. Just walking into the gas station, pulling every single one out of the little line that I can, just stocking up for the...
Because you gotta get them all.
Yeah.
You have
to. When are you gonna go back to that gas station? Never. You gonna let someone else have one of those?
That's yours, and you're gonna take it, damn it.
That's right.
Robin, you were so ready to say that you were gonna stock up for the week, and then you stopped yourself because 6 Kickstarts does not last you a week.
3 days.
2 days. Yeah.
Three days.
2 days
if I'm really depressed and I like need to get shit done, and I'm just like pumping caffeine into my veins to get me out of my chair.
Yeah. No.
I had a pretty big Kickstart phase.
Yeah, but you're not as bad as PJ that literally drank 12 monsters in an entire 24-hour day.
That was crazy.
That's scary.
That is scary.
You know,
I thought he was going to have a heart attack at any second.
It says on the can, recommended only 3 a day.
You can have 3 a day on the can? That seems like too many still.
That's what it says.
It doesn't say that you can. It says do not drink more than 3.
Yeah.
It doesn't recommend it.
Yeah.
Just you shouldn't drink more than once a day.
I haven't seen that on the can. Is that really on there? I once got a 24 pack and I didn't drink it all in a day, but I definitely drank it all in like I would say 3.5 days.
That's crazy.
And then slept for a week.
I think the most down in one day is 6, and that was a long time ago, and that's too many.
Yeah, back working like service jobs and stuff, you absolutely pounded that shit. I'd definitely had several in a day. I don't. 6 is probably like a pretty fair number as far as monsters go, and it was I was also like an 18-year-old, so I was drinking like just the green ones. that's all there was.
I like those.
Well, they're good, but they're just heavy. They're a lot.
Oh yeah, they're
deciding between a Nos and a green monster.
Yeah, exactly.
Or full throttle. That's a tough call, to be honest. Nos are good.
I like Nos.
I never liked them.
I thought the fact that you can get them in the little bottle, the little blue bottle, was the coolest shit in the entire world.
It is.
Nos.
Defonte, every time you talk, it.
It sounds like you're really far away. I know. I was speaking from my laptop. That's why. My bad. I tried to get as close to her as possible so you guys can hear me. And it's like, I'm thinking you guys hear me. And then, I was saying, what did you say?
You're good.
What do you say?
Are you not wearing headphones?
I am wearing headphones. But like, they don't have like a mic on. So my mic is my integrated mic in my laptop.
Oh, that's fair.
Just holding the laptop like all the way up to your mouth, kissing the webcam.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Good.
Yeah, that sounded really good, actually.
Yeah.
I can't figure my shit out. I don't know where to like put it. I don't know which spot I'm supposed to talk into it.
No.
I have mine just like slightly off screen here.
Yeah, I need to get rid of mine. I can't see, but I have the big arm like in front of my face, and it's blocking one of my screens. So I really need to figure some shit out. It's not a good setup, right? Right now, but it works.
And it sits next to the computer.
That's fair.
Nothing fancy.
I've done the mic stand before.
Job done. That's all I need.
My room's a goddamn mess right now.
No, it's not. You're at the beach. There's a lovely little beach background.
Yeah, Wampus.
Coconuts.
How's the vacation life? What's the weather like down there?
You're also there. Why are you asking?
Oh, shit.
You're at the same pool.
Oh, shit. Hold on.
What's up? What's up, dude? We're just passing tequilas back and forth. And
yep. We're actually sitting in the same hot tub right now.
5 feet apart because it's not. That's why my screen has been placed in between you guys.
That's right. Keeping us 6 feet apart.
Hell yeah.
Social distance. The little Discord squares on the call.
Hey, COVID don't exist on the beach, bro.
That's right.
Yeah.
The temperature kills it.
Wouldn't that be good for you? Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, I literally just got over COVID. It's all your shit.
I had it asymptomatically, so I'm really not sure when I was sick.
I was going to say, I was also asymptomatic as well. Like, it was just crazy because, like, my girlfriend, like, her brother, like, they had, like, some hardcore symptoms. I'm just like,
I was, like, expecting to fall deathly ill, and that's how I was going to know. And it never happened.
Yeah.
I got my PCR back, and it's like, oh, you're positive. I'm like, oh.
Okay.
I had like 24 hours of like the worst experience of my life, and then just like the next 3 days I was just foggy, but after that it was fine.
That's good.
I feel like I've got really lucky. I've avoided everything so far, as far as I know. I guess, who knows,
you better find some fucking wood, dude.
Yeah, damn, can you imagine if I said that and then died? That would be so crazy.
We just hear something like fall.
Passing away.
Yep.
Your roof just caves in on you. And just
We wouldn't know. We would just think that you got really quiet. This is why we need to get you a webcam, dude.
Yeah, that's true. Nobody would be able to tell if I get COVID and pass away during the podcast.
But at the same time, what you have to worry about, though, is that if you have the webcam on, if you die, you cannot turn that webcam off then.
That is true.
And that could be a problem for everyone else involved.
Yeah. And we are technically recording on my end, so if I die, the podcast never ends.
Just never ends.
Yeah. Releasing an 8-hour podcast episode, and the last 7 hours are silence.
The police
silence,
come in.
And then, and oh my god, and then some sirens, and
that's
then
some really dark shit.
And it runs out.
That sucks.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm not.
Oh god. Guys, we've been talking for a whole dang while here. I really appreciate you guys coming on and chatting with us about things to come, things that have happened. Been a real treat. We do sort of, before we end, generally, we do like to try and ask. We have another little segment to do.
Are there any new bands I should know about?
Hey, do you have any? Do you have any music that you've been listening to that you would like want to point people towards? What are you listening to? What are you fucking with?
I'm sure that I do. Let me.
Yeah, feel free. Feel free to, you know, pull up the recent. Pierce, I get it.
Pierce the Veil.
Well, like, I'm
going through a teenage emo phase.
Pierce the Veil. Adam was testing our in ears with Pierce the Veil yesterday.
I'm gonna give some solid recommendations. Probably like a lot of people already know them, but like I've been like getting really into like Jail Socks recently.
Yep.
I'm probably super late to that train, but like it's good okay. Shit. Yeah. So like I'm glad to be on it. They're fucking amazing. I'm hyped to see them when they're actually in Chicago with Baron as a young culture. So it's really cool.
Yeah, with Baron.
Yeah. I'm excited to see them live.
Fluorescence.
Yeah, I've been really into like our local scene in general. Like we have a lot of good bands with our local scene, I feel like. I feel like every other week, like someone's releasing music, and it's so fucking good. Like Fluorescence, Teddy Kingdoms, like just everyone on the scene in general. In Chicago, like local band, I recommend 100%. That's probably my rotation.
Bad planning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I got a shout out Cliff Diver.
Cliff Diver, of course. I've
been listening to them nonstop since a little bit before we went on tour with them.
Mm-hmm. True.
I definitely have not heard their record, wink wink, but I have a feeling it's really good. And it's coming out in a few months. And
hell yeah. I'm
really excited. And then also the new Hop Mulligan acoustic EP thing is very good.
Huh. I haven't heard that. I'm actually going to have to check that out. I missed that one.
It's really great. There's an acoustic version of Backyard, and it's so, so good.
Hmm.
Yeah, Between You and Me as well. I like listened to both of their records yesterday and cried a little bit.
So. Oh, we got a kitty. We got a kitty on the pod.
It's Finn again. It's Finn. Hanging Finn's out.
What's up, Finn?
My most listened to artist of the year was the Menzingers.
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
mine was Taylor Swift.
was it really? That's pretty sick. She was like number six or something like that.
I love Tay Swift too. She's my bae.
Well, I mean, she dropped two records technically. So,
do you consider yourself a Swiftie?
When I was a young Taylor Swift was like my first like big crush, and I had a poster of her like on my ceiling right above my bed, so I'd wake up every. See her face.
That's so funny. That's such a little dude thing to do. I love that.
Yeah. I was like 9, 10. I was like loving her.
No, yeah, this is so an funny. Audio medium, but I do want to just show you guys this.
That rocks.
Yes.
I wouldn't consider myself a Swiftie. But I definitely like respect her like as a musician and like her impact on like music like in general.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I feel like she definitely got memed on for a few years, and then
100%, yeah.
People came around to being like, "Oh,
she didn't deserve it."
But her music though, like, actually is like really, really good. Like, she's a very, very good songwriter, and like, it's like I feel like I've kind of discovered that like recently through like the Taylor versions of like her couple of her like obviously most popular albums or records, and it's just like, damn, like the fact that like. She had these other separate versions of these songs, but they still hit and like obviously like make her fans like feel type of way. It's just like fuck, dude. Like it's like complete control of like you know your situation. Like it's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely like reclaiming.
Honestly,
all that.
I'm a much bigger fan of her pop music than the country stuff.
Oh yeah, sorry.
But those original country albums are honestly just pop records with like played in a country style. And those songs are really great. I really like the version of, I think it's Picture to Burn, the original, where she just like says something really homophobic.
Jesus.
So that's really great. And then she put out Taylor's version of Fearless this year, and that record goes crazy. So good.
I've been trying to get Cleveland Avenue to do a cover of a Taylor Swift song.
We should do a cover of a Taylor Swift song. That would be so good.
Throw a breakdown in it, and it would be the sickest song ever.
Which one would it be? Hash it out right now.
I was actually looking to do a version of mine on the Speak Now record. I like was legit trying to demo that out as like a pop punk version, and nobody helped me with it, so I kind of gave up on it. But like,
it's like that one's like fine.
I love that song,
mine is fine.
Mine is fine.
I know that everyone really likes Speak Now, but that's not the one that I love.
What if we had to do a song?
Any of the ones on 1989 would be super fun.
That is my favorite record of hers.
Let's do Blank Spaces.
Yeah, we could do Blank Space. My only concern with that is that I think some other bands have done that one already.
There's no way that's not on.
That's the one that I Prevail did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, they got famous off that.
That's true.
That is fair.
Reputation would be awesome. Their first show was to thousands of people because they got famous on the internet.
Yeah.
Damn. That'd be the way to do it, huh?
One
That'd
of those sick. Classic, we are a YouTube channel, and then we are also a band.
Yes. They asked to post more about videos of him bowling. And then we can get crossover from the bowling fans.
Yeah, we have one Instagram reel of him bowling, and it got like a million.
That's awesome.
So, we have a bowling fan community.
Yeah, shout out to Cleveland, they let us bowl for free for as long as we wanted. That was really nice.
Hell yeah, that rocks.
That's awesome.
We've
been hearing lots of good things about Mahals lately.
Yeah. Did anybody pronounce it Mahals while you were there? That seems like a common thing.
No. I've never heard that. Their food smacks, though.
Yeah, their food was pretty good.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, but the employees like really hated us for like staying as late as we did. Like they were really trying to close up.
No, because
the dude was like waiting for us to leave so he can clean up all the drinks, and then Cliff Diver is like looking at all the merch upstairs, and like you could see like the cashier person was just like, please leave.
That's so funny.
Yeah, we were there till like 12 or something.
We were there till almost 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then we had to drive to Akron.
Yeah, I was like, I think it's Akron, so about like close to 3:30, 3 in the morning.
That was only like a 45-minute drive.
Yeah, no, that wasn't that far. Akron was only like half hour away. We went to bed at like 2 that night, I think.
Yeah, we had bunk beds.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Seth and Seth's studio, we had bunk beds too.
That's so cool. What a vibe.
All right, yeah, top or bottom bunk? Seth, go.
Oh, bottom bunk for me.
I've gotten top bunk. Yeah,
definitely a bottom bunk person.
If Defonte got on the top bunk, that'd be
scary. I don't
want
to have to climb a ladder to go to bed. I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
Also, knowing me, like when I was a kid, I used to like frequently forget I was in the top bunk and then just like get up, reach over, and just fall. Like,
that's so good.
That's kind of my thing though too, though, is that like I usually get up to go pee in the middle of the night at some point. So I want to be not having to get down off a ladder at 3 in the morning when I'm trying to go pee.
I don't mind it. It's an adventure.
Adam's I'm getting up to pee way too often for that shit.
Are you on your pee grind?
Yeah.
Pee grind.
Yeah, he is.
Waking up every hour and a half to pee.
Is that true?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
No, not That's most of the time. Much. Sometimes.
It's from all your Kickstarters.
Yeah.
That is actually true. For some reason, you don't sleep that well, you and you're always peeing.
Something wrong with your prostate.
Nah, yeah. It can't possibly be that. Hey, I don't have to go get that checked until I'm 30. I got 8 more months. 8 more months till I have to go through that. So.
Making that joke and then realizing you don't have that much more time until you're 30.
Shut up, dude.
Oh, man.
Rip.
Big rip.
Big
Rip, you have some bands on here that you recommend.
Just 2 more shout outs. I just discovered Northern Weather from Akron. They rock. Definitely recommend the.
We just talked about Akron. How cool is that?
Yeah, it's a nice little tie in there. Singles North River Road, and Neil says he's a Viking. Very good. And also shout out a Tiger Made of Lightning. They were at the Cleveland Avenue Cliff Diver show. Joey like shouted them out at the very end, but they're cool. Very good. Very cool,
yeah,
people. It's like
super cool.
It's like positive, inspirational, like I don't want to say easy core. It's like in the metalcore vein, but without like, I think without like really any screaming. So it's fun. It's good stuff.
Yeah, it is. It does rock. It's good shit. I just remember Joey coming up to us, I think on the patio, and just being like, this person's in a band. You need to talk to them. And then just kind of like doing the doll's kiss thing and then walking away.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It honestly worked because now we both like that band. So it's perfect.
That's a very fancy glass of water you got there.
Thank you. I am dumb and don't have any clean dishes, and I only have 4 mugs. Everything else that I have is a wine glass. I have like 12 wine glasses, 4 mugs. I don't even drink wine that much.
You gotta pour your
I just work at a winery.
You got to pour your Kickstarters in the wine glass and the
fuel tank. That's true. Maybe that'll help me pace myself a little bit.
That Report of the Week video where he's reviewing the monster or something out of a wine glass or some shit like that. Dude, you're drinking Kickstarter, like the neon.
Like a genius.
That's so good.
I'd have to be doing the Das Boot of Mountain Dew Kickstart.
Yeah. That would be tight. I only drink Mountain Dew Kickstart out of shot glasses, and that's it. Nothing else.
And I just need a little pick me up. Please, for the love of God, sponsor us.
Yeah,
well, it has been Jacob. I'm going to do it this time.
Do it.
I'm going to do it.
Do it.
I'm taking your lines.
Do it.
If I say them, they don't know that they're your lines.
Shut the fuck up. If I say the lines passing, they become my lines.
Jamie Taco.
It has been an absolute pleasure to have the three of you on. Thank you. You are obviously so welcome back anytime.
Yeah, anytime. Seriously.
Thanks for
having me. It was really nice waiting in line for that food with you.
Oh my God, that took forever. The food did smack, though.
It was good. Yeah, it was really, really good.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Awesome. Well, does anybody have anything final to say?
Does anybody have anything else they want to say before the music fades in?
We have new music coming out eventually. Hey, keep on the lookout.
Right.
All of their fans.
That's right.
Yep.
Can't wait. Can't wait for more shows and to go on tour again. And to come back to Columbus.
Buy our music.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, please.
Buy the music.
What is that?
Or at least our merchandise.
You've been to buy our music.
Check out the band camp.
Buy
the first EP.
Yeah, are we able, like, when you, like, are you able to put a link?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll put all the plugs and stuff. We'll do the names of everything and all that.
Say the name of the merch website.
ClevelandAvenueMerch.com. It's as simple as
that. There it is.
There you go. There you go.
Merch.com.
We'll link that as well. We'll link that.
Hell yeah. Thank you.
Buy some merch. Buy some merch.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Thank you, as always, to our new friends in Cleveland Avenue. We really appreciate them coming on the show. Such a treat to get to know them. I would highly suggest you check them out. You can do that on Twitter and Instagram at Cleveland Ave IL. You can follow them on TikTok at Cleveland Avenue. Don't know why I said it like that. Sorry. Check out the Things Better Left Unsaid. It was an EP from last year. I highly recommend it. It was a real banger. I really think you should check that one out. And hey, if you want to throw them a few bucks for it, you can do that over at clevelandavenue.bandcamp.com. Definitely a spot to check that out. As mentioned in the show, clevelandavenuemerch.com. It's just that easy. Check it out over there. Pretty self-explanatory. If you like the show, write into the show. It's ybigpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at ybigpodcast, on Instagram at yourbandisgarbage. If you like the show, give us a rate. You can do that 5 stars, rate and review on Spotify and iTunes. Music for Your Band is Garbage is courtesy of Hey, I Love You and Jake Bowell.